Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
The first of the meetings with Liverpool in this end-of-season run is over, and it finished in a hotly contested 2-2 draw at the Etihad. So, how are you feeling now? At the start of the day, many of us would have been happy with the point that kept City top of the table, but with the way that the game unfolded, it does feel like City missed a chance to really put their title rivals to the sword. Pep Guardiola said pretty much that after the game.
I had a feeling that we missed the opportunity, you know, to beat them. A feeling that we leave them alive.
It's still so finely balanced. So let's get into all of that and what's to come over the next few weeks on today's Why Always Us. I'm David Mooney. I'm joined by Sam Lee. Hi, Sam.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good, yeah. Very good. What a game.
Indeed.
I really feel like we should have recorded this last night after the game. But yeah. Alas, here we are. Maybe a bit more, I don't know, maybe with the benefit of seeing more highlights and stuff. We'll get a different perspective. But after the game, I was still... like adrenaline. Yeah, it was great. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, that's all we're going to talk about. It's what you've been writing about as well. So if you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, then you can read all of our articles on City right now, as well as anything else on the site, including Sam's piece from the game yesterday. Just go to theathletic.com/mancitypod. Right now, you can sign up for a special price of just £1 a month for 6 months. That link, again, is theathletic.com/mancitypod. My first question for the show, Sam, was going to be, what was your immediate reaction? Because I remember coming out of the game and feeling... kind of punch drunk, like I'd just gone seven rounds with a great boxer, or like I'd played in the game, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, loads of people afterwards said how tired they were. Like, you know, I'm knackered as well, just watching kind of thing. And yeah, it was that. It was exhausting. And especially obviously from a fan's point of view, the ups and the downs and the nerves, like, because. There was so often in the game, especially after the first 10 minutes or so of the second half, when City were kind of the team in control again, even though they tried different things, there were lots of times when, you know, they still had the ball and Liverpool were back in their box defending, and there were times when City did that as well. But City were on top for a lot of the game, but obviously with Liverpool. And maybe that kind of sod's law point of view that a lot of football fans have, you're just thinking, well, Liverpool can still score here.
Yeah,
it got to about 20 minutes to go, and I was just thinking, well, Liverpool are winning this 3-2. Like, it was when City had loads of chances, and I think after the VAR,
the disallowed goal for Sterling, yeah.
And I was just like, well, Liverpool are winning this. Like, that's how it's going to be. Just in that kind of, well, it's Liverpool. They're clinical. They only need one chance. They're lucky. Whatever kind of thoughts go through your head, I just thought, okay, that's how it's going. I posted the picture on Twitter last night. I forgot I'd taken. When they had a wide free kick in like the 93rd minute, and Guardiola was just like,
crouches down. Yeah, exactly.
But then I was about to take the picture, and then he stood up to like to correct something, and then he went back down to doing it again. And he just think, not like this. And obviously after that was the Mahrez chance. So right until the very end, I know exactly why people kind of felt like as if they'd played in it, because it was draining. It would have been draining to watch. But it was just brilliant, wasn't it? Like, yeah. It was completely different to the it was similar but different to the game at Anfield with the other 2-2.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Premier League era. But like that first game was kind of an excellent exhibition of like, it sounds like people, this is the kind of thing people say when it's a boring 0-0, but obviously it wasn't. But it was like a great tactical game, and the way that City played out from the pressure. Guardiola said yesterday, he was like, we silenced Anfield. He goes, we silenced Anfield for 20 minutes. You know, in his kind of weird, like messing around voice. He was like, it's never been done before. I'm sorry, we did it. Like this kind of thing. It was really funny, actually. So there was that, but and obviously City created chances at Anfield, and Liverpool had scored the Liverpool goals, just go away goals, you know, just don't, why do you make it look so easy goals, you know, when City obviously have to create five chances to get one, and that's how it feels. But they just kept responding and kept reacting. And that was a great game and more precise, and it just felt like a clinic. You know, it was clean and it was sanitized, really. Yesterday was wild and chaotic. But I don't know, better for it maybe. A more enthralling game to watch in terms of your average fan could watch that, like myself included, and go, fuck me, this is good.
Yeah.
Whereas I think earlier in the season, you'd have to be like, oh yes, what a fine display. that was the difference. And yesterday it was just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Just thinking of the voices that you've put on podcasts that we've been on. We've had Joe Public voice, and now we've had, what's that, Upper Class Toff voice? Is that what that was? Or...
Yeah, the Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yeah.
Football appreciation.
Yeah. I realised as well earlier on that I outed myself as not a boxing fan because I just guessed at the number of rounds there were in a boxing match. And while you were speaking there, I Googled it and there's 12, not 7. So there we are. That shows what I know.
Did you say 7?
I said 7, yeah. And I think I was mixing my metaphors because I was like, I was saying all yesterday that we've just seen the two best teams knock 7 bells out of each other. So I just like, I thought 7 bells, that must mean the 7 rounds. There we go. No, doesn't work like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, let's start with the reactions, Sam, from the managers. We'll start with Guardiola. You asked him this. You
played quite a lot like Liverpool today, more like Liverpool than you ever have done before. Less short passes, more over the top.
Yeah, I tried to imitate the best teams and learn. Yeah,
it went pretty well.
Absolutely. It was a fantastic game. So, football sides, I had a feeling that. It is a result 2-2. You saw him from above, so you will analyze what happened. I had the feeling down. I have to review the game. We missed the opportunity, you know, to beat them. A feeling that we leave them alive. Heads up. I said to the team after the game, so I don't want 1 second sad. So go and announce everyone, so how good you have done, how proud we are, and I think it was a good game for our fans, for Liverpool fans, for UK, for around the world, and we dignify the Premier League, so I'm so glad and happy the way we played.
So is that how you feel about it and the players? Because it seems like it was a great performance.
Yeah, normally when you do many, many good things, you don't win, you are the moment, like you are sad, you know, the sadness is there, and you can understand, but I said, forget about it. This is about to be ourselves, this is about perform well, and after, the result come later. And we were ourselves. We performed incredibly well. And unfortunately, could not win. But it's football, it's happened, and that's all. And we can, all of us, we know we do. Every week we are here in the Premier League, and we watch Liverpool in the Premier League in Europe in the last 4 or 5 years. And we know exactly what they do every single day in chances created and how he concede. And we concede so few, impossible no concede, and we create a lot against them. And maybe not the clears for the last simple action that maybe we don't do it, but in general it was a good performance. I'm so happy and I'm glad and proud for my team.
That was the second of the two press conferences, Sam, because I've actually played these the wrong way around because Klopp was in first, wasn't he? You'd put the same to Klopp about City playing in Liverpool's style with more balls over the top than normal. This is what he said.
It's just smart. Just smart. It's not who cares. City is allowed to play balls behind the line. When you have the runs they have, I couldn't respect it more. Kevin De Bruyne, so like that. It's easy to play the pass, but the timing they had for their runs was absolutely, it's not bad, to be honest. I like that. Yeah, we could have done it as well, but we were in the playing mood today. So, but it's fine, really. As I said, we improved, and it's about winning football games and not about showing up which style you want to push through. Like, really stubborn. And yes, there were moments more direct than usually, but I thought it was a good idea. We played much lesser long balls than we usually do. So we want to play between the lines, through the lines, and these kind of things, just because we control it. It's the last line of City defense, balls in behind really well. Really together, really have all physically, they're quick and all these kind of things. So we want to mix it up, but actually the plan was to play. And how we did around it, look, the first goal we scored is now, we scored similar goals against City. I'm pretty sure there was one goal when it was a away game here as well. I think in the end we lost 2-1 when Bobby Firmino scored after Trent Cross and Robbo heads the ball square. We had the ball before that, I think, 25 or 30 times passed the ball. Not that often today, but it was a similar goal. So that's what we want to do. That's what we have to do. No team in the world is perfect. We are not. City is probably the closest, but it's not perfect as well. And so we have to try to force them to make a few little mistakes.
There we have it. I think it's weird, I think, Sam, that both kind of reacted in kind of... I Guardiola didn't particularly agree with you, I don't think, but I think he kind of came round to how, like what you were saying towards the end of his answer, if that makes sense, in the way that he does.
I don't know if this was the case this time, but yeah, he does do that all the time. Yeah. Also, the thing was, I kind of made the mistake of starting the press conference because it's one of those things. It was the first question. It's one of those things where normally, whatever you ask, he's just going to give his review of the game anyway.
Yeah.
But when I took the microphone, he looked at me and he was like, "Good game." And I was like, well, yeah, but I've actually got a specific question. The funny thing, because Klopp's answer was great. Like, and when Klopp speaks like that, it's like Pep. It's like I could listen to him all day. Like, he's great when he's like that, and which is, you know, fairly often, like Pep is. But he, I don't know if it's the way I ask these questions or whatever, or just they just want to make sure that it can't be misrepresented in the media in any way. But obviously Klopp was like, well, that's no problem. Like, not a criticism whatsoever. It's great, like fair play kind of thing, which was obviously, you know, there was no agenda to my question. It was just, this was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. But yeah, it was interesting. And then when Klopp said, you know, we were more in the playing mood or whatever, the little bit you edited in the middle, because I didn't have the microphone at that point.
Yeah,
I couldn't mean by playing mood.
We just couldn't hear your question, but it was the follow-up was just simply...
what did you mean by
yeah,
that?
What do you mean?
Yeah, we wanted to play more between the lines. And I was like, right, okay. So, but I mean, I kind of assumed that that's how Liverpool play now anyway. But when he said they wanted to do that a bit more, I was like, okay, that's more like City. But obviously watching the game, the way that City were putting the balls behind the fullbacks, you know, long balls over the top, and especially in those difficult, like, and it worked. Like, this is, so that's what Liverpool do. And I tweeted it and loads of people were like, oh, you're talking absolute shit. And I was like, right, okay. And I was like, thing is, football's open to interpretation. If I say Thiago had a great game and you say he had a shit game, like, fine. Like, neither of us know, like, as much as Klopp or Guardiola, and you can let things slide, you know. So it's a game of opinions in that sense, isn't it? Like, some things are black and white, but generally, you know, we don't know enough about it to be able to say, well, this definitely happened, because there's a lot of interpretation. But in terms of playing the long balls behind the defenders, people are like, oh no, it's just City switching the play. They do that to Mahrez all the time. I was like, no, it's completely different. Completely different. And that spell at the start of the second half after Mane scored, because obviously when Mane scored, you just think, forget it.
Yeah.
You just square one, but obviously they got the momentum. Horrible now. You know, City to score twice against Liverpool and then get it back to 2-0, you just think, fuck that. Like, this isn't going to go well. And they were rocked, weren't they? That was the only time City really were rocked a bit.
I remember looking at the clock in that kind of opening spell, and it was 55 on the clock when they start by the time that City got the foot on the ball and started, they had to just pass it around for a bit just to get the ball back and just to have a little bit of confidence and then kind of move themselves up the pitch. And I remember thinking, it was, I remember seeing the clock quite distinctly on 55 and thinking, they're starting to kind of relax a bit now. And so it's like 10 minutes of that first half, with like almost exactly 10 minutes where they were just a little bit at sea after that equaliser.
Yeah, but that was it. So, but obviously they're very calm in trying to play the ball out, but they did this in the first half as well, the first few minutes. So Liverpool obviously very well organised in terms of they obviously pressed high up, but obviously there was no real options in midfield, even with Bernardo dropping in alongside Rodri at these points I'm talking about at the start of both halves. And City were obviously very patient to try to play through. But when it got to the stage, they're like, well, we can't here. It was just a long ball over the top. Just a long ball over the top in behind the fullbacks. And this is what Liverpool do. I did an article a few months ago now, really, about kind of the similarities and differences in their play, because John Muller had done this article. It was like a Game of Thrones thing, basically breaking down football styles into kingdoms and stuff. And I'm sure if people have read that article, you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, then you can go and find it, because it sounds interesting. And it was a bit mad, but there was loads of really interesting things in it. And, you know, one of the big differences was, you know, City's approach to playing under pressure, and it was they would keep it more. They were better at it. They would certainly not lose the ball more. Liverpool would lose the ball way more often, and you think, what's all that about? But if you look at it, it's because if they're being pressed, they'll just go right, bang, over the top. And maybe the opposition fullback wins the header, but, you know, Henderson's running in to win the second ball or whatever.
Yeah.
Or it's just a way of relieving the pressure. And obviously with those kind of pace merchants they've got, and obviously it's not just pace with Salah and Mane and now Diaz, you know, but they can do that. And that's a big difference in style between City and Liverpool. And yesterday, City did it. And we talk about, you know, it's all about patience. It's all about control for Guardiola. And it has been, you know, that is undeniable. He's talked about it a million times. You see it in their games. We didn't do a podcast after Atletico Madrid. Maybe we will this week, if they'll allow us and if we've got the time. We didn't do one after Atletico Madrid, but really good performance. And everyone was like, oh, we should have pushed for more. Could have been a bit more direct. Could have had a strike. What would that striker have been doing? Like, would have been the most isolated man in the world.
Yeah.
And do you think that the three Atletico Madrid centre-backs wouldn't have fancied a few balls in towards a striker? Okay, it's easy to imagine. Put one in towards Haaland and he'll score or whatever. But City were not direct. They were patient. And if Atletico Madrid didn't counter, partly it was because they were extremely defensive, but partly it was because City were controlled and they were patient. And that's how they do it. That's how they got to the final last year. That's how they play in these big games. If you remember, at the end of the Chelsea game in January, when City were 1-0 up and they had a couple of chances to break, and I think it was De Bruyne and Foden tried to play like through balls, maybe to each other, maybe to Sterling, and they went wrong. And Guardiola afterwards was like, look, he goes, I get it, because, you know, they're human, and it was the right option, or like it was an option, you know, it was on. That ball was on to push for the second goal. He said, with the crowd was on, what they needed to do, go in the opposition half, make 1,000 million passes. And I was like, that is the perfect representation of the kind of difference in what lots of City fans want from their team and what Guardiola believes is the right thing.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to get used to that clash, because City are not going to even push for a second goal in a game like that. They're going to control it and be sensible.
That even dates back to the kind of first revolution of Guardiola at City, because you think of the clash in styles between this City team now and the City team in 2017-18. Like they were a very kind of counter-attacking team. They were very happy to accept the pressure, and then bang, 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 three passes, they've suddenly got a breakaway. And you look at a kind of the difference in style between that and now, like you say, the number of times now where there was a spell. I mean, it must have been in lockdown where we were talking about this, where there was a spell where there was a nut, where there was a chance to break on, and they just wouldn't take it. They would much rather keep the ball. And I mean, it's kind of evolved past that now to be a bit of both. And I wonder how much the influence of crowds returning and that sort of thing has had on that. But equally, then you kind of flip it around to the Liverpool game at weekend, and the number of times where they almost set themselves up with a counterattack because they had won the ball off Liverpool quite high up. I mean, they pressed Liverpool, and I mean,
that was like Liverpool winning high up.
I can think of
winning within 30 yards and just go, yeah, well, we've got a chance now.
Yeah, I can think of at least, what, 3-4 occasions where somebody got a foot in and nicked it off a player that was under pressure, squared it to Sterling or De Bruyne, and somebody in the box was then able to kind of get...
To miss.
Yeah, to miss. But yeah, it's like it's progress, at least, getting into that position and missing there rather than knocking it around for hours. And
yeah, maybe by the time Guardiola leaves, they'll score the chances they create and literally never lose a game ever. but even before the game, I was like, I wonder if... Like, because I was like, because the crowd will be up for it, and the crowd will be cheering them on, and I wonder if Guardiola will be saying,
"Try
the crowd will be roaring you on for 15 minutes, but don't listen to him. Like, play your game, be sensible, you know, knock it around, establish that control." And then when Bernardo took that free kick quickly, I was like, "Oh, I wonder if Guardiola wants that." And then the game pans out, and you just think, "Yeah, fuck me, he absolutely does." Like the patient stuff had I wouldn't say gone out the window, because there was obviously, when City had established themselves in the Liverpool half, you don't play. There wasn't many unforced errors, you know, like, like the other night, if I'm thinking of the Atletico Madrid game, like when Cancelo kind of has the ball weighing up his options with 5 minutes to go and it kind of just falls over. Like, there wasn't a lot of that. It was, if there were errors, it was because Liverpool were like pressing them and they're really good. But so there was a bit of patience still there. Obviously, they weren't playing the whole game like nutters, but just that willingness just to bang it over the top and see what happens, running behind. And I suppose, obviously, the other tell after the first goal and how City approached it, okay, do they want to play like this? Or was the players going off plan a bit? But playing Sterling as a number nine and running in behind and stretching them, which is kind of what Guardiola, I think he kind of mused about that before the game at Anfield, but didn't do it. I think he brought him on late, didn't he, to do that. But obviously, from the start here, and Foden and Jesus, I guess, it's just, Jesus is a good out ball because he can kind of challenge for headers and he's a bit stronger in the air than the other two. Obviously, he's got the work rate of running behind. Well, he run back with Robertson. He goes running behind and try and stretch them as well. You know, like we saw with the chance for Sterling before City even scored. Like, it was that kind of game, and it seemed like Guardiola. It seems like Klopp maybe didn't expect it, because would you expect it? Well, this is my point. Like, and everyone was like, "Oh, what are you talking about?" But City don't do this.
When have City adapted their style like that in such a dramatic way
I put it in my article. Sorry, I was like, how many times has Guardiola said, like, the faster you put the ball forward, the faster it comes back? And it's like, normally against Liverpool, you just don't do that. You would think safer than ever. Like, really, this might be, going into the game, I think this might be the most patient game City have ever played, really, if it has to be. Just like, kind of lock it up. But they just went, nope, okay, we're going to play a bit more like Liverpool today. We're going to pose them problems. And it was great. Like, it helped them be the better team. Like, when Guardiola was like, oh yeah, try to imitate the best teams, blah, blah, blah. And then that was it. I was like, well, it worked, didn't it? You know, just to kind of like, well, you played well.
Yeah.
And then it was funny, because when Guardiola was talking about, that's what, because he was disappointed. So I'm trying to think of the best way to describe the two, because Klopp came in first and he was kind of like, hello, like, as he just walked in. It's kind of funny. And he was kind of relaxed, but you could tell he was disappointed, but like, kind of breezy with it, and it is what it is. Guardiola was more disappointed. And like, at the time, so he was more disappointed, obviously, but he was talking about how good they were. But the things he was talking about more were like the clips you played at the start, you know, should have killed him off.
Yeah.
Didn't. Disappointed with that. And when he said, so I was obviously just thinking, well, what a great game, draw's fine. Cause I was, you know, I was still thinking, as long as City don't lose this, then fine. That was my point of view. You know, having thought with 20 minutes to go that they would.
I wonder if that was his point of view before the game, but with the way the game panned out.
The way it went. Yeah, exactly. But so when he said, what I've told the players in there is kind of, don't be sad, you know, we were great. So he talked a lot about how they were really good, because obviously they were. So I said, I was like, oh, is that what you and the players are like? Because I thought you were really, it was a great performance, basically. That, you know, I was genuinely surprised that the players would be down. But obviously now, probably the benefit of doing it this morning rather than after the game is you see it and you think, that's just human, isn't it? They would have gone in thinking, fuck's sake, like, it was there.
We've had the chances, we've led twice.
But the thing is, they're probably, in terms of that kind of self-regulation and knowing what they need to do, they won't need telling, I don't think. You know, I don't think they'll be waking up this morning feeling like a defeat. It'll just be like, okay, right, Atletico Madrid, then we played well, let's go. But in terms of that, we left them alive comment, like, I'm on my Twitter this morning and I'm seeing the Liverpool View articles, and it's like, I see what you mean by left them alive. You know, they're talking as if, oh, it was a great result in the circumstances, and, you know, oh, they're still in this title race, and, you know, they're not going to go away and all this. And you just think, you got off the hook yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's probably just me looking at it from like a media point of view. Obviously, Guardiola's looking at it going, they're bastards. Like, oh, well, you know, we'll, I'm sure he's thinking, we'll see him again. We'll see him again next week. I mean, don't ask me how that FA Cup game's going to go. I think my hunch is there'll be loads of changes from both managers.
I think it'll be a completely different game. But I think it depends how midweek goes. That's the thing.
Yeah. But also, if Bernardo and De Bruyne and others run their asses off on Wednesday, like they did yesterday.
They can't do
no
that
way
again.
Can they play against Liverpool again. And the way I'm thinking, so I might be wrong here. So what I did do last night, rather than come home and do the podcast, was go to the pub and have two pints and discuss it with Jack and Paul Hurst, because it was like whatever I do, I want to talk about this game more. And I was like, it just felt like one of those rare games where you're just like, right, if one of the times we did that Monaco game at home, like five years ago, me and Jack were like, need a beer after that, and ended up going to the casino in Didsbury till like 4 a.m. or something.
Good.
But last night I was home in time for match of the day too, so that was fine. But it was just right, we need to talk about this game. We need to think about it. We've been talking about it. I think we mentioned it before the game, and we talked about it afterwards in terms of what he's going to do at Wembley. Now, Jack reckons he'll go all out because, you know, it's an opportunity to stop Liverpool and get to the final. It means a lot. And obviously it does mean a lot. But I do think the shift they put in yesterday, so on match of the day too, I guess a lot of people won't have seen this. They said that Bernardo ran 12.5 kilometres, which was more than anybody else this weekend of Premier League games. And you just think, how does he do it in these games? You only ever hear the distance stat if somebody's done loads. But it always seems to be Bernardo, and it always seems to be against Liverpool. How does he do it? Like, why is it always more? So there's that. He's going to play against Atletico.
It was 13.7 kilometres he ran in 2019 in that Liverpool game. So like it's one of those games where it must just be Guardiola going, listen, I want energy from you today, lots and lots of energy. And he just hears that and kind of goes into child in the playground mode.
Yeah, he's just got more of a capacity. I mean, it's funny because I think Foden generally, despite the fact he plays up front, or maybe just in his younger career, Foden just almost without anybody realising it would always run more than anybody else. So I'd like to know those stats more regularly, but I think they are hard to get hold of. But yeah, so basically my theory on it is, Guardiola, if he's going to have to rest De Bruyne and Bernardo, and look, I just don't think they're going to be able to do it. So I think they're flying straight to London after Madrid. So they get to London on what, Thursday or whatever. So he should have a couple of days there. It limits the travel. That will help. And maybe he'll ask him to push it. But I think if then they do push it against Liverpool, they're not going to be able to play against Brighton. And I think of the two, Guardiola wouldn't want to risk dropping points in the Premier League.
Yeah,
and I think you go, okay, it's the FA Cup. We do want to win. It's going to be one of those where he picks a team that he thinks can win. But if it's, Fernandinho maybe. I don't know if it'd be Fernandinho, but you know what I mean? Like, if I start saying Ake, Zinchenko, Fernandinho, you know what type of selection I'm going to mean? And it's one of those where you think it's probably enough to win.
But on another day, it's
not.
Yeah.
It can't be the strongest team. It's not the team that he picked yesterday. It's not the team he picked on Tuesday night against Atletico. So that's what I'm thinking for that. And obviously it'll be interesting with Liverpool because they're playing on Wednesday as well, but they're playing at home. You think if they get a couple of goals early, they can make a load of subs. They can make some changes already because they're 3-1 up, which is fairly comfortable in it already. So then maybe they can go a bit stronger against City, but they've got United, and they've got United on Tuesday, whereas City got Brighton on Wednesday. And this is all maybe I'm overthinking it slightly, but it's all these things about how do you plan for these squads to play.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think what this does, Sam, is it illustrates just how delicately balanced this season is so far. In a way that I think the game did as well. Because one of the other factors that I think comes into the fine margins for this season is, especially for the final kind of seven Premier League games, is kind of what happened in the game on Sunday. Liverpool take their chances through sheer firepower, and they maybe don't create as a whole deal, but they get the job done. They get in there and they score a couple of goals when maybe they don't necessarily deserve to. City, meanwhile, create a lot and they really work hard for their chances. But and like the chances they create are a lot higher quality, but it takes a lot of them for them to be able to get the ball in the net. And you like, I went into the
it
game.
Seems to, yeah,
yeah. I went into the game feeling that like Liverpool have the more firepower, but City have the more creativity. And I've come out of the game feeling exactly the same way. And then when you look at that, focused on City having a 1-point lead, everything we've just talked about with balancing the FA Cup with the Champions League, and I just think it's going to be interesting how that plays itself out now over the course of the season, because it is so close between these two sides, and one's weakness is kind of a strength for the other one, but the other one's strength is kind of maybe a weakness for the other. I'm fascinated by how it's all balanced.
Yeah, definitely. It does kind of sum up the whole season and how kind of fraught the whole thing is. And I mean, look, the game was never going to decide the title race, was it? But it's just like, okay, well, we go on then. Like, it is, it's funny now, the psychology of it, because to me at least, going into that game, you're like, okay, well, a draw's fine. Stay top. That was if Liverpool would need to win that for it to be in their hands. And you think, yeah, okay, well, City are top. And if they come through that game and they're still top, then great. And all of a sudden they are. And I'm just thinking, 1 point is not enough.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's not going to work. Like, 1 point is nothing. Like, I'm less sure now than I was beforehand. But that's just the mad psychology of it. But another part of the game that I want to talk about, because obviously we've talked about kind of the tactical side and the approach and kind of, I don't think we've actually said this, but like, so they decided to change it up and play a completely different style, and it worked. Like, that's brilliant. But like, all the little bits that weren't tactical, all the little bits that you can't put on a tactics board. Anyone who's wrote my article will know I've ripped myself off there. But all the little bits, just everything that's just a scrap. Like, we talked about Bernardo's running and stuff, and look, Walker wasn't great for the Mane goal. He shouldn't have been out there. But he was really good otherwise. And like, every time Liverpool, you know, towards the end when City were established as the better team again and Liverpool were pushing more for the balls in behind, of which there were loads, and Alexander-Arnold running up as like a striker or inside the channel or whatever with Salah on the right, and Salah, the amount of times he got it one-on-one, and Guardiola, because he was quite close to Guardiola, obviously, and Cancelo, and Guardiola was saying to Cancelo, come closer to him, come closer to him. And Cancelo just didn't. He just didn't want to. I don't know if he was scared or he just thought this is the better way, but to be fair, there was one time, and I tweeted about this, when Guardiola was like, come, and he didn't. He kept backing off, but then he tackled him, and that was when he like dribbled past three players.
Yeah,
he's an absolute maniac. He's almost as much of a wrong one as Edison is.
We'll come to that.
So every time Salah got the ball and was dribbling to Cancelo, or they tried to put the ball in behind, or they aimed one in behind Walker, and then they were all switched on, because like, if Walker tries to side foot that back into midfield, and you know, we've done it a million times as terrible footballers, if it catches your studs rather than your instep and it goes about a yard, then Liverpool are just going to run onto that, or it goes under your foot or whatever, then they've scored, they're top. The game's completely different. You've messed up, or you play the ball into midfield, but it goes back to Henderson or Thiago or whatever. Like, and this is the same for Liverpool, really. There was more Liverpool mistakes, you'd say, probably forced by City's game. But if you make an unforced error in those situations, if you don't make that run to close somebody down, or you don't make that challenge, there's such dire consequences, and that pressure to play under against an opposition as good as Liverpool and as clinical as Liverpool, to do all that while playing a different style in a game that big, and just all the little things, like all the little things weren't right for 90 minutes. And it's that thing of, if you make a mistake against a top class team, you're going to be punished. And that's what happened with the second goal for Liverpool. But if there'd have been more mistakes, which there easily could have been in a game like that, then there'd have been more goals for Liverpool. And that element of it, the battle that City put in, the way they rose to the challenge.
I want to, just while we're on Walker as well, you're right, he was in the wrong place for that Mane goal. But there was at least two occasions in the first half. Now, my seat is kind of north stand end of the halfway line. So I'm kind of level with the penalty area on that on the far side on the north stand end. So I was watching the end that City were defending in the first half. There was at least two occasions where Liverpool looked for Salah through the middle or just over the top, and Walker was like normally they'd let Laporte or someone like go out with the ball, but instead Laporte stayed central and Walker came steaming across around the other side to kind of get there first. And it was almost like this intentional play of we will show them that Laporte is not coming for this, but Walker will be there to sweep it up. And like it was, there's so much of his game is based around the kind of positional awareness of where he needs to be. And a lot of people look at it and go, he's just got the pace to recover, and that's what it is. And it's not; it's so much more than that. It's a much deeper understanding of where he needs to be to make that run to cut out the danger. And that's why I'm really disappointed that he ended up where he did for the Mane goal, because other than that, I don't feel like he put a foot wrong. He played; it was a really, really brave performance, and I think he did really well apart from that.
Yeah, it's funny, we were talking about player ratings because I was talking with Nadim about them after the game, and the ratings he sent me, Salah got 7, Jota got an 8, and Mane got an 8. And I was like, I thought Salah did more in the game, but obviously didn't score. And then he gets a 7 and the other two get an 8 because they score. And it's just funny how it's like, well, you've scored, so you automatically up 1 or 2 marks. Walker was obviously not great for the goal, so he's down a few marks, getting like 5s and 6s. But overall, he was really good. It's funny how the ratings work. But yeah, exactly. It was just that game where you just had to be on it. And this is the focus of my article, really. Like, so if City don't win the league this year, there'll be inquests, won't there? They'll be like, well, why not? And it'll be finishing chances. And whether people want to focus on the striker or just finishing chances in general, you can come back to the two games against Liverpool because they're the most obvious. And all of a sudden you start thinking, well, if they won at Anfield, which they could have, although it wasn't as clear as yesterday. Because obviously Liverpool feel they could have won at Anfield with a Fabinho chance at the end, even though I thought City were the better team and created more overall and should have been ahead before Liverpool scored. And then obviously yesterday they were the better team. So I get that we might be looking back in a few weeks and saying, if they'd won that Liverpool game, it would have been completely different. And ultimately that was where it went, and blah, 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 and all of this. You can dwell on that, and I get that. But also, the thrust of my article was, in a game like that, to play a new style, to play like they did, to be the better team against Liverpool in a game where they had to win, that is, you know, I've got the phrase in my head, I think it's from Guardiola, because we've mentioned it recently. It was when Guardiola was like, everybody asked, what if we lose, what if we lose, what if we lose, but what if we win? And that was ahead of that 2-1 game in January 2019.
Yeah,
against Liverpool, because City had just lost two games over Christmas. They'd beat Southampton. Liverpool were like 7 points clear or whatever, 10. Could have made it 10, maybe. I can't remember. But and Guardiola was like, nobody makes one coin for us. You know, nobody's saying City are going to win. And there was a bit of that yesterday. I didn't put my article and because I didn't want it to be a bit straw man. And, you know, I couldn't say for certain that, you know, nobody in the world expected City to win. But I was sent a prediction league that some people I know, I don't know how many are in it, but I think quite a few. And it was like the screenshot of everybody's results. And at the top, it just said, nobody has picked Man City to win. And I saw a poll. And again, this is just like, this is why I didn't write about it, but just for the purposes of talking about it, there's some like Spanish language football nostalgia account I follow that just posts like pictures of like Maradona from the 70s or whatever. And like they put up a poll before the game saying, what's going to be the result? Obviously, the three outcomes with the draw as well. And Liverpool had 49% of the result. So people think, I was like, people think Liverpool are going to win this. And like, and in that kind of way that we kind of overanalyze our own team's mistakes and overanalyze the opposition's team's strengths, which happens in professional football. You know, when teams are scouting opposition, they go, well, they could do this and they can do that.
It happened and then every time Guardiola met Solskjaer, didn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it did. So with that, I was kind of thinking, oh, you know, it's just going to be Liverpool. They'll turn up and they'll be the mentality monsters and they'll steamroll this and that and that and that and they'll win. And it was, I think it's easy to think that. And I know there'll be City fans listening to this go, no, fuck that, I didn't think that. And fine, I'm not saying everyone did. But it was easy to think that. And going back to that Guardiola phrase of nobody gave one coin for us. And then City turn up and they battle like Liverpool, which everybody loves. they play that blood and thunder football, which everybody, you know, when say City are boring, it's because they don't play like that. So they went, okay, we're going to play like that. And it worked really well. And they battled and they battled. And it was kind of, they weren't exactly unfancied, but yeah, there was a bit of that. There was a bit of doubt, I would say, that City would do. I think a lot of people, because don't forget, all the talk going into it was momentum. And like Liverpool are on the surge now, City have had a bit of a dip. But like, all of a sudden now, we're three games after the international break, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but are they playing like they did against Everton and Spurs and Southampton?
No, they're not. They're not at all.
They're playing brilliantly.
Yeah, they're playing brilliantly in different ways. I was kind of interested in this as well, because I wonder how much the performance, not the result, but the performance kind of helped for the final few weeks, on the basis that City, I think even though they drew the game, they've kept the momentum that they had from the games before it. But equally, I wonder how much they've knocked Liverpool, because I think that first half was a real battle of wills, and I don't think Liverpool expected it. I don't think Liverpool expected for City to be so in your face.
No, yeah, no, I don't think so. I suppose the good thing about that is, you know, we'll see it on Saturday at Wembley. However the teams look, there'll be a bit of a go again. And maybe that's an opportunity if Liverpool do feel a bit rocked.
To just have a bite back.
They might be able to set that straight. But there's definitely all that talk of momentum and stuff. City have killed it in a way, because they were the better team, I think. You know, if City go and drop points in the next couple of games or whatever, and Liverpool win, then you say, okay, well, they got the momentum. Like one of the journalists was saying yesterday, that's the first time Liverpool have dropped points in 17 games, whereas City have dropped 9 points in the last nine or whatever. And it's like, and so he was like, well, so Liverpool have obviously got the momentum. I was like, okay, I'm not going to say what I want to say. But I was like, what are you talking about? Like, maybe I'm wrong. But okay, look, oh, brilliant. So you got the stats. But City dropping points was weeks ago. What momentum were you talking about now? Have you seen how they play?
Yeah.
The fact that Liverpool have dropped points now, it was the first time. It's because they just played City, who were better than them. Like, and City's momentum is coming back. I don't want to see these stats. And look, maybe he's right. Or maybe City carry on dropping points. But you can't talk about momentum when City play like that.
It's interesting as well, because I said on last week's show that I was feeling a lot more serene than in previous years. I think over the morning of Sunday, I kind of worked out why. In 2012, when I felt the pressure against City against United, and was really kind of that was a horrid day, that build up to that Monday night game. City were going for the first title in my lifetime. It was against the big rivals. There was no guarantee that if they lost, things would go well. Even like, not necessarily for the end of that season, but in future seasons, it might be one of those cases where they just can't get over that next step of the hurdle, sort of thing. So that was nerve-wracking. 2019, Liverpool was tense, largely because it could have knocked City out of the title race really early on in the season. It was you know, we got to January and City needed that win, but also they had the pressure of no team had done back-to-back in 10 years, and it was kind of stopping Liverpool winning their first title in however long. But now Liverpool have won a title. City have nothing to prove to anyone anymore. If they don't win the league this season, they'll be back again next season. Maybe, especially if they've signed a striker that ends up bagging like a robot, you know what I mean? They're in this really, really kind of fortunate position of they can go into these games and kind of just go at it and just enjoy it and see what happens. And there's no, it would be disappointing to lose, but it's not what that United 2012 game was. It's not what that Liverpool 2019 game was. And so I actually came out of that game thinking, I've really enjoyed every minute of this. I thought this was a really good game. And I saw afterwards how many people were nervous, and maybe a little bit more nervous when Edison did his thing in the first half. But it just didn't seem to affect the pitch at all. I didn't feel like any nerves in the stands were transmitting to the pitch.
No, it didn't. I suppose, to be fair, I'm not sure there were many nerves. I didn't get the nerves in the stadium. There was the groans. Like, we were talking about playing the long balls. Again, I tweeted this. Some guy near us was like, it's a nothing ball. And it's like, well, it is, I suppose, by City circumstances. But like, kind of, I think we've got to get with the program here. Like, these are the balls that City are playing. And by this point, it was like 60 minutes. I was like, it's been working for an hour.
I think we might have to kind of accept that people in the stadium sometimes get things wrong, because the fella behind me consistently shouts for them to play it forward when they're playing it round the back. So
yeah,
there's always going to be somebody who's not happy.
But I'm just thinking about, because I wrote an article that was published on Sunday about, can anyone enjoy title races? And, you know, that's still, just because it was before the game, it's still relevant now. And I spoke to City fans and Liverpool fans, you know, yourself included.
Yeah.
Jamie Carragher was good, because obviously he's played in title races for Liverpool. It was good because he obviously works for Sky, so it's that thing of, he's still obviously a Liverpool fan. How does that affect you watching the games and stuff? So that was interesting. And I spoke to Nadim about how nerves affect, and nerves in the sand affect players on the pitch, and it's like, you're being told to get the ball forward or whatever when the plan might be not to, you know, and this kind of thing. And all of a sudden, like, if things are going well, the fans are just kind of enjoying it and singing or whatever. But if it's not going well, all of a sudden, it's groans and it's being told this and that and the other and that kind of thing. But I didn't feel there was nerves in the stadium, because it was just kind of roar and come on every time, basically. Yeah. Whereas Atletico Madrid was, because that was more of a clinical performance, wasn't it? That was more tense. There was no real room for a fan to be like, come on, because that wasn't the game City were playing. And it was more about, I think it might have been the same guy, actually, but he was like, do not lose this ball, Cancelo. Like, he shouted that the other night, which made me laugh. And like, Cancelo would be the one, because he's either a 10 out of 10 or like a none out of 10. And like, in individual moments, like, if you were to rate everything he does on the pitch, it's just like, well, that was shit. Well, that was amazing. But like, it's generally more often amazing. But obviously, if you make a mistake in his position. Like, again, we didn't do the Atletico podcast. There was one time in the first half when, like, somebody did really well, and the ball came to him, and he just went, just like fell asleep for a second. I think it was probably Lodi, just ran in and took the ball off. He's like, what are you doing? In fact, that happened yesterday, quite far before Liverpool's first goal. But it was when they played a long ball over the top, and Edison came out, and you think, oh God, and he headed it into midfield, and all of a sudden you just look, your eyes scan quickly to see who's there, and you think, oh, it's all right, Jesus is there. And Jesus did the same thing as Cancelo the other night. Just waited, lost it, and obviously there was a lot of football played between then and the goal, but that's how Liverpool got the ball back for the goal, which was really annoying, because I think Jesus did it twice early on, just lost the ball like that, and you think, you're in the team to be intense. And anyway, he was good overall, but that was annoying.
Yeah, I remember thinking, actually, after that one, Jesus, he made the gesture to say, "Why shout that I've got a man on." And it's like,
yeah, you're fucking kidding.
Like, surely you must know there's somebody coming. Obviously
you have. Yeah, it reminded me, actually, of, do you remember when City lost to Norwich at the start of that 19-20 season?
Otamendi.
No, Otamendi was in the... It was Otamendi. Meantime, they've been pressing you all game. Anyway, that Edison one, I genuinely thought on the replay, I thought it might be like a goal line technology job. I thought it might have crossed the line a bit. Obviously, the replays on the TV, it showed he got it just before. It kind of clipped the line a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, but,
like,
he was already playing it by that stage, wasn't he?
But from my angle, But from my angle, it was like, okay, well, he's lost it. For a second, I thought he'd given up on it and just let it go in. Like, okay, well, I fucked it. I'm not going to lose my dignity by scrambling after it. And he was obviously just like, oh, well, he just, I don't know. He's just, was it, you were in a conversation on Twitter with somebody saying, like, he's in control of, like, every part of his body, which sounds like a mad thing to say, because surely we all are. But, like, in terms of making a football go where it needs to go,
he's hyper aware of, like, where every single atom in his body is. And so he's like, well, I will just move this one of my, like, left toes right now, and the ball will do this when I, yeah, it's just mad.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I don't want to over-egg it, because in terms of, so my point there was, he obviously knows exactly where the line is, because he was just like, this will be fine. He knows how far, knows how quickly the ball's travelling, knows where the line is, knows where the guy coming, was it Henderson?
Jota, wasn't it? Yeah.
Knows where Jota is. It'll be all right. And it just did it. And so that was mad, and obviously we're kind of celebrating that, and isn't he funny and stuff. I mean, but Frank Lampard turn here, he had quite a poor game. Like, the goal was a weird one, but it's just that thing with Edison.
I felt that it's the first
bit, like,
goal.
Bravo! It's a bit, but it's one of those where if you're asking, could he have done better there? But you're asking it like 25 times in 5 years, you're probably thinking, yes, he could have. But yeah. What do I know?
I felt a bit for the goal because he's obviously thinking I need to spread myself to get across the to cover as much of the goal as I can, and it's come so close to him he's not been able to readjust. Yeah, but yeah, he probably should keep that first one out, I think.
But it's one of the one thing I wanted to say about Edison generally, and please remember that there are no such things as jinxes, and if he drops one, then it's his fault and not mine. But in situations where, and it wasn't yesterday, and we can come to this as well, but in situations where teams have got a corner and it's late and it's nervy or whatever, how good is he at just going, I'll have that? Like, never punches it, does he?
Just catches it.
I'll have that. He has dropped them in his time and he has fumbled, but I can't remember the last time he has.
Might even be as far back as Leeds, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. There was one in my head where I remember he just kind of dropped it. It was kind of more of a routine one as well. But to wrap up, I don't know, because we've been waffling for a while now. Certainly I have.
Easily done.
With Liverpool, yeah, well, I mean, what a game to talk about as well. I'm glad we've kind of managed to keep our own momentum up for the morning after. But Guardiola was talking about the set pieces and stuff, and he was like, look, he was saying, which was interesting, he was like, when the delivery's good, that's the main thing. When the delivery is good for set pieces, the rest, is going to go pretty well. And I remember when he was talking about City's set pieces earlier in the season, he was like, I still think we could be better on delivery. And yesterday, City's set pieces were terrible.
Just on that, like, De Bruyne took three corners in the first half where I am almost certain he was shooting.
Possibly. I couldn't tell you, I don't know.
All three of them went to Alisson at the near post, and at least two of them Alisson caught. I think one of them actually Van Dijk headed away that resulted in Cancelo playing the ball over for Jesus to score. It just felt like he was trying to bend it in at the near post, as if it was. I mean, I also accept that probably the most dangerous corner is that one that you get just over the first man at the near post for somebody to flick. But equally, it just felt like he was going, that is where the space is, and that's where I'm going to try and pop it. And he was just trying to bend it into that near post and see what he could do.
But do you remember he also did one? It was a free kick wide on the right in the first half. And it not only did it not beat the first man, but would it have been Alexander-Arnold?
Oh, it set Alexander- a counter-attack away, yeah.
Alexander-Arnold was able just to go, I'm going to pass this to Salah. But Salah had a shot. And Edison was just like, okay, fine, I'm just going to chest this down. It was easy. But you think, that was terrible. Oh, really? That was terrible. But so Guardiola was talking about their delivery being good, and obviously is that, and when they're taller than you, then that's a problem as well. So there was that, but they had one corner yesterday, Liverpool.
Yeah,
and that's normally you can just be like, that's circumstances, but we know, and maybe it is the circumstances, but we know that often if City don't want to give teams corners, they just won't. And I know it's easier to do against Bournemouth away, which is the obvious example, and Burnley away and whatever, and Brentford actually as well away. But that's the way City kind of control the game. It's like, well, if you don't attack, you're not having it. But just to do it against Liverpool was obviously telling. But then it goes back to that picture I tweeted when they got that free kick at the end.
Because that's the one,
terrible,
that's the chance.
Terrible, terrible. But yeah.
Well, let's finish with this question, Sam, because it's one question that I wrote that I'm actually going to use for today's show. Guardiola seems quite relaxed. What was he like post-match?
Yeah, so like I say, he was definitely disappointed. He seems like, I'm not saying he was, but in terms of how they kind of wear their emotions, he seemed more disappointed than Klopp. That's how I'd put it. Klopp was obviously disappointed, but the way he talked through it. But then, like I say, in terms of relaxed, that thing about Guardiola at the end and, we silence Sanfield for 20 minutes, all this joking, like, because James Ducker was like, he goes, Pep, he goes, in terms of the quality of the games, not necessarily the result, were they two of the best you've ever had in your career? He's like, nope. He goes, I have a long list, my friend. In that kind of just messing around thing. So by the end, he was fine.
He's feeling all right.
I wish I'd asked him about the Liverpool style change thing a bit later on. But, all you have to do is watch the game, really, and just watch City, any five City games from the last 5 years, and just see the difference. Remarkable. Fair play to them.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to everything now.
Yeah,
it should also be good. that one point feels horrible, doesn't it?
Yeah, it should be good.
We go again.
It'll be fine. Whatever happens. Here we are. I told you, I'm a changed man. I'm serene, David. This time, for this title running, it's all good. that brings us to the end of this week's episode of Why With Us. Thanks as ever to Sam Lee.
I'm just seeing these Liverpool tweets again. They did leave him alive, didn't they?
It's fine.
Did leave him alive, but if they win all their games until the end of the season, which they're capable of doing.
Before the game, it was in two clubs' hands. Now it's only in one club's hand. It's absolutely fine.
Very much so. So, yes, thank you, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the game. And, I hope you enjoy the game on Wednesday.
Indeed. Don't forget, you can sign up to The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.